never say to God, God, I want what I deserve.
Whoa.
No. You don't understand. No, don't ever say that to God.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome, friends. This is Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Job, the senior pastor of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, it's such a joy to be able to win people to Christ and raise disciples and plant churches. And as we look back over almost 30 years of ministry, we've seen God do some really exciting, incredible things. I love being a pastor on this team. And there's others that wonder if there's room on the team for them, if this is the kind of place that's open to other leaders coming in. Tell us about the vision and tell us about the open doors.
We have a vision to see the city of Chicago saturated with life-giving communities of faith. As we cooperate with other churches, because there are a lot of great churches in Chicago that we're joining forces with. But we do that two ways. One, we plant new churches, and we've done quite a few of planting of new churches, about 12 or 13 new locations that we've planted around Chicago. But we also do restarting of historic churches that are struggling. And God has given us a beautiful opportunity to restart about 12 churches. And these are churches anywhere from Baptist to EV Free to Mennonite to Bible churches that at one time were thriving places, houses of worship, but because of changing demographics or transition in leadership, find themselves really struggling to survive in today's environment. And we have a unique approach in which we actually join those churches. We celebrate their history. We adopt their history. We celebrate their past. And we look at ourselves as being a new chapter to an old history. So we don't close them down. We just restart them. And that's why we use the word restart them, to reach this generation. And so if you are interested, and maybe you're a part of a church that needs a restart, or maybe you're a young leader out there that feel like, hey, you have a call to church planting, we would love to hear from you, because we are launching and starting at least 5 to 6 new congregations every year. And if you want to be a part of it or have a call to church planting, or you're part of a church that needs to be restarted, please get a hold of us. And you can go to our website at newlifechicago.org and check out the ministries page, because we have more information about restarts and church planting on those pages.
That's right. We would love to meet you. We need to partner together to see the greatest impact. And so as you go to newlifechicago.org, click on ministries. As Pastor Mark said, scroll down. If you'd like information on being a church planter, click on that button, New Life Cities. If you'd like information on restart, click on that. And there you'll see a few other opportunities as well. But those are the two we want to highlight today. We would love to meet you.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Let's get right into the second half of Pastor Mark's message called The Real Test today. It's from Pastor Mark's series called Contrast, Be the Difference. We're in the book of 1 John.
Here you are. You came to Christ. Say, I want to follow God. But you're struggling. You blow up at your kids. Let a few swear words pop out. You're angry at your boss because they gave someone else the raise, and you're gossiping about them and resentful. You're mad at your mother-in-law because she doesn't let your husband grow up. He's just a little baby always to him, and you want a man, not a little boy, and you're kind of wrestling through that. And you just think it's normal struggles of life, but there's an accuser watching everything that you do. And the accuser is constantly, day and night, 24/7, accusing you before the Father. Hey, you know that person that said they gave their life to you? Didn't realize what they did. They just swore at their kids, blew their temper. They're a child of yours. I mean, they're a degenerate, mad person, gossiping behind the back. Hey, they worship in church, but have you seen how they gossip at their work? And have you seen what they think about their mother-in-law and how angry they are? Man, there's your child. Hey, they deserve condemnation. They deserve guilt. They are not who they say they are. They're not worthy. They belong to me, not to you. There is an accusation just levied against you. Have you seen the greatest prosecutors If you've ever watched some of these court programs, you know that a prosecutor will try to do everything in their power to defame the person that they are trying to prosecute and accuse. They'll search their background. They'll question their motives. They'll bring witnesses to the stand. Everything to tear down the character of the person that they are trying to condemn. That's exactly what the enemy does to you before God. But thank God, we have an attorney. He's the counsel. He's the paraclete. He's the advocate. What does an advocate do? He fights on our behalf. The advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, it says, but we have an advocate who speaks to the Father on our behalf. Now, he's different than other lawyers because he doesn't try to argue for our innocence. He doesn't say, oh, no, they didn't do that. Oh, no, they're not bitter. Oh, no, they didn't swear. Oh, no, he says, yeah, they did swear. Well, they are bitter. They are angry. They did lust. But I advocate before you, Father, that all of that they did, I paid the price for. It's been paid. It's been finished. It's been clean. I took the payment for it. I took the guilt of it. I have paid the price for it. He argues his righteousness and your progressive sanctification. And so here's what he says. We have an advocate who speaks to the Father in our an advocate who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. One who's holy, one who's pure, one who's never known sin. He argues before the Father in our defense, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Literally, the word there is, he is the propitiation for our sins. How many of you have heard that word and have no idea what it means? Like, okay, propitiation. It's a little bit of a technical word, a religious word, but the word propitiation, actually, the word here is helesmo. Helesmo means this. In some translations, it says the atoning sacrifice, but the proper translation, the more proper translation would be the propitiation. And that word propitiation simply means that someone that is not in a right place, someone that does not have favor, they are granted favor, and their problem or whatever is causing them to not have favor is taken away. So there's they propitiate and they expiate, so to speak. In other words, propitiation means that I owe you something. I have something in my life that causes me not to have favor, so I'm granted favor, and whatever is causing me not to have favor is taken away from me. You understand the concept? So Jesus is the propitiation. He brings the favor of God back to our life. And that's causing us not to have favor of God, the wrath of God, is taken away from our life. Our sin is taken away from our life, so the wrath of God is no longer upon us. Now I want you to understand this because this is huge. You and I, because of our sin, deserve this powerful, consuming wrath that would send us to eternity, to hell. That's what we deserve. So never say to God, God, I want what I deserve. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa. No, 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 no. You don't understand. No, no, don't ever say that to God. God, this isn't just. I want what I deserve. Whoa. If you and I got what we deserve, we'd be in bad shape. A seriously bad shape. You don't want what you deserve. You want mercy. You don't want justice. You want grace. You need to understand that. We're not advocating, oh God, give me justice. Give me what I deserve. You want the grace of God. You want the When God looks at you, this is huge. You need to understand this. Listen, when God looks at you, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, no matter what you were, who you slept with, how long you were there, how hateful you were, what crimes you committed, what darkness is within your soul, when you come to God and Jesus comes into your life, He does something in your life as you turn to Him in repentance and believe. He takes away the blackness and darkness that's on your soul and He washes it away and gives you favor. And how does He do that? Well, when God looks at you, He doesn't see you. He sees the righteousness of Jesus imputed upon you. We are, Scripture says, the righteousness of Christ. That's the only way we can stand before God. The only way. You are not right before God because you were good enough to be right before God. It's because of the work of Jesus Christ. You don't enter into heaven because you are good enough to make it into heaven. It's because of the work of Jesus Christ. And if you have been trying to make it there by your own good works, if you depend on your own good works, then I'm going to guarantee you, you've incurred a debt that you cannot pay, and you will never enter into the gates of heaven unless it's total dependence on the work of Jesus Christ, and you understand that. Secondly, I'm talking about how I know I'm walking in fellowship. Am I walking in obedience to God? And by the way, it beckons the question, as a believer, and you say, okay, well, if Jesus has done the work, and if God sees me behind Jesus, Paul addresses this in other epistles, you say, well, then I might as well sin. If it's all about Jesus, I might as well sin, that grace may abound. Whoa, 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 hold on. It's all about Jesus. But if you're truly a child of God, with the Spirit of God, there are a couple things that happen. Your relationship to sin changes because you no longer desire sin like you used to. You no longer enjoy sin like you used to. You no longer brag about sin like you used to brag about sin. In fact, now you have a new heart. And so your heart is, I want to live for God. I want to serve God, seek God, live for God. And I do it not because I'm trying to earn my relationship with God. I do it because I already have a relationship with God. And because that's who I am. I'm a son or a daughter of God that wants to live for Him and live like Him and live out who I am inside. You see the difference?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk Radio message called The Real Test, which is from Pastor Mark Jobe's new series called Contrast, Be the Difference. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of 1 John with his message called The Real Test.
It's not because I'm trying to earn favor with God. It's because I already have favor with God that I live that way. And John goes on to tell us, look, secondly, so the first test, if you are you walking in victory over sin? That's the first test. Are you walking in fellowship? Test number two, am I walking in obedience to God? Verse 3 says, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, listen, is a liar and the truth is not in him. Someone says, well, I know God. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're a believer? Have you ever run into someone at work? And then you're new at your job, kind of shy. People are going to find out you're a believer. But then someone catches you praying over your meal or before work, they catch you reading your Bible, not during work. before work. They catch you reading your Bible, and they say, and you've been there a month or two, and you see, they say, oh, you're a believer? Yeah, and they say, I am too. And you say, you are too? Like with a shocked face, like, you? You are too? Oh, yeah, yeah, I am too. Man, yeah, when I was 6 years old, I, you know, went to church and gave my life to Jesus, and I haven't lived for him much. But yeah, you know, I got a Bible. I'm one of those too. Hold on. You're 36 now, and that was 6 years old. And you're trying to tell me that you haven't lived for God for 30 years, but you're one of those two? Here's what John says. John says that if you say you know him, but you don't obey his commands, that you really don't know him. That you're really a liar. You're self-deceived and the truth is not in you. Because if you know him, there's going to be something inside of you that compels you to obey him. There's something inside of you that drives you to obedience to him if you know him. You cannot know him and walk in flagrant disobedience without conviction, without feeling like something is wrong, without being miserable, without being driven. If you live in flagrant sin and flagrant disobedience and you're okay with it, chances are you really don't know him. Because if you knew him, you'd want to obey him. And you'd struggle with obeying him. And you'd feel the guilt of not obeying him. And that's what John says. Listen, a test is, if you say that you know him, you will obey him. Notice he says in verse 5, but anyone who obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him, whoa. You want a verse that's going to knock your socks off? You're going to chew on this for a while. Listen, it says this. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. You're a follower of Jesus? You know God? Then if you know God, you're going to want to obey him. It doesn't mean you're perfect. But you're going to obey him and have an impulse to obey him and walk in his ways. In fact, whoever claims to know him is going to walk and desire to walk like Jesus did. Now, do you understand when you say, well, I don't have anything to work with? The moment you say, hey, I'm just like Jesus, then you've arrived. If you're not walking, talking like Jesus, then you and I still have a lot of work. Why? Because Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Why? Because the Spirit inside of you, that Holy Spirit, is the power of God trying to encourage you, convict you, instruct you, help you, coach you to be more like Jesus. When you come to God and you receive the Holy Spirit, you have a Jesus coach inside of you. He's going to make you want to talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, think like Jesus, love like Jesus, have a mission like Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God himself. It's the third person of the Godhead. And his goal is to help you be transformed into the image of a son or daughter of God, which will make you be more like Jesus. And John says that. He goes on to say, by the way, he goes on to tell us, you see, some people think it's just about the knowledge that you have. He was fighting something called Gnosticism. Gnosticism, and we have forms of Gnosticism in religion today. We don't use that word, but Gnosticism was all about knowledge. People thought that if they had knowledge, they were okay. I run into a lot of people that go to church and think that if they have knowledge about God, it equals spirituality. That as long as they know the truth, then they're okay. John is saying it's not just enough to know the truth, you have to practice the truth. You say, well, I know the Bible. Well, I know that Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. Okay, well, that's not enough. Gnosticism says all I have to have is knowledge, and knowledge gives me enlightenment and makes me right with God. That's a form of paganism, heresy, Gnosticism. And sometimes it seeps its way into the church, and people think because they know the truth, they're okay with God. But it's not just enough to know the truth. You have to begin to practice the truth and live the truth. You have to walk in obedience to God, and that's what John is saying. In fact, in John chapter 15, it said the same thing. It says, as the Father loved me, this is John chapter 15, verse 9, as the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that your joy may be complete. Jesus is telling us, listen, you say, I really love God. And here's what I want to say. I will know how much you love God by how much you obey God. You didn't hear me. No, I know you didn't hear me. You say, well, Pastor, you know, when the worship's going, I just had this feeling inside of me. And I just like, whoa, I love you, Jesus. And I love God so much. And then you go out, snort a line of cocaine and sleep with a boyfriend. You know, hey, hold on a second. You may have a feeling of love, but don't tell me how much you feel. I don't want to hear if you get goosebumps up and down your back and how you feel this, you know, this spiritual flow of supernatural love on you. I'm all happy for that. But the question I want to know is, are you obeying God? Because what tells me how much you love God is how much you obey God. Listen, if my kid walked in and my son walked in and said, Dad, I really love you, man. Really love you, Dad. You're such an important thing in my life, and I really love you. I really respect you. I really want to have a walk with you. I really want to have a relationship. I said, great, son. Man, that really touches my heart. Thank you. Could you take out the garbage? No. Well, can't you just take out the garbage? Dad, you should take out the garbage. I don't want to take out the garbage. No. No, wait, hold on a second. You know, my conversation is, I'm glad you love me, son, but you know, I want to see your love by the respect and the influence that I have in your life. And are you going to follow through in this way? If not, all that love talk is nothing. It's just like a husband that comes to his wife and, honey, I love you, baby. You're my life, and I love you, and no one's like you, and this is all I want. And then goes out and does whatever he wants. He's unfaithful in his marriage, does this. Listen, the wife's going to say, hey, don't tell me how much you love me. I just want to see you walk in commitment to me. I want to see you be committed to me. That's what I want to see. And what Jesus is saying, what God is saying, is that it's not about how you feel about God. It's about how you obey God. Your love is measured in your obedience. So look at your life and ask yourself, am I walking in obedience to God? And that's how much you love him. If you're not walking in obedience to God, that is the level of the love that you're demonstrating to God. What measures your commitment to God is the obedience of your life to God, not how you feel in your heart. And John makes that very clear. But then he goes on to say, but if anyone obeys his word, then God's love is truly made complete in him. In other words, if you start walking in obedience, then the love, the maturity of the love of God starts really coming out in your life. True love. And he says, and this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Last test. So there's three tests. Test number one. Am I walking in victory over sin? Test number two. Am I walking in obedience to God? Last test. Okay. I know a lot of you are going to hope I just finished there, because this is going to be a hard test for some of you. I just wish you would have finished that point two. Point three, you ready for it? Am I walking in love towards others? Are you really a follower of Jesus? Yeah, I know the scripture. I don't lie. I don't commit adultery. I don't sin. I don't kill anybody. I honor my father and my mother. I tithe, Pastor. I measure it down to the penny. I'm walking in obedience. I can't stand my neighbor, but I'm walking in obedience. Whoa, we got a problem here. That's called self-righteousness, actually. That's called what the Pharisees, one of the worst forms of religion is you feel like you're obeying all the commands, but you don't like people. You don't love people. You don't get along with people. That turns more people off than anybody else. Show me a church that's filled with the Spirit of Jesus, and I will show you a church that genuinely loves people.
This concludes the second half of Pastor Mark's message called The Real Test, which is from our current series called Contrast, Be the Difference. Please join us again on the next Straight Talk for Part 3, Guarding Your Heart. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.